to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
There was no action taken in closed session. Our student representative to the Board of Trustees, Kathy Vang, LHS student representative. Kathy?
Hello, everyone. So our tennis club has ended their season just recently with their fifth consecutive GEL championships. Congratulations to Tai Tao, Stephen De Mesa, Deja Lauren, Annie Yang for making it to the quarterfinals of the GEL tournament. Also to Maria Zaveria, Aline Zaragoza, Richard Herr, Kristen Vang for making it to the semifinals. A big hand for Peng Tao, Kathy Vang, Peter Tao, Andrew Vang for going to the finals and representing GEL as sections. Congratulations to Andrew Vang and Peter Tao for placing third in the San Joaquin Section Tennis Tournament. Our music club will be having a Music in Our School Day concert on May 17th in the gym. Following that, on the 24th, the LHS band and choir concert in the gym as well. Our National Honor Society recently went to Chico State for the mentor program on May 4th. They are currently working on community service hours. Today, our softball team is going against West Campus, and our track and field team will be having a meet tomorrow at Yuba College. The next few weeks is very busy for our AP students as they are preparing for the exams. So wish them the best of luck. And that'll be all for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Next, we have recognition, 2018 California Distinguished Schools, Covalad Elementary School. Dr. Todd?
Thank you very much. This evening, we have the distinct honor of having the principal of Covalad Elementary School, Mr. Doug Eshman, here, along with some of his amazing staff. And if they'd like to just kind of come up to the front, right by the microphone. Mr. Eshman, could you lead your crowd up front, please? And that means you too, Ricky Nagel, in the back of the room.
Don't be shy, come on up.
We have a former teacher in our audience too that drew out the
book. Yay.
This is a group of professionals who have done something that is not very frequently done, at least certainly not in the last 3 years, and this year certainly not in any of the counties neighboring us, and that is to achieve the status of being a distinguished school. And this evening the board has asked you to be here so they could recognize you publicly for all of your hard work, and we know that it's not an easy job. Your students are, I'm sure, absolutely precious, but they can also be challenging, and the way you used to teach, well, some of you haven't, well, you've been teaching a long time now, some of my former students are here, it changes. And so their needs are always in the forefront. And Covalad Elementary School, come on in, you're a little tardy, but we won't we won't call you out. The last 3 years, schools have not been recognized because the state of California took a bit of a break with the new assessment system coming out. But that didn't mean that Covalad rested on their former laurels. They continued to do the very hard work, and they also have embraced the PLC. So they are our shining example because this is the year of Covalad. And so I'd like to read the plaque for you that the board has asked me to prepare. And yes, I'm older and I need my glasses. The 2018 California Distinguished Schools Program recognizes California elementary schools that have made exceptional gains in implementing academic content and performance standards adopted by the State Board of Education. Covalad Elementary School is recognized for their outstanding educational practices. Congratulations. It's been no small feat. You've never taken your eye off the target, and your students are all the better for it. So thank you for preparing our students for their subsequent years going over to McKinney or even Euban Gardens. As long as they stay in our district, we're thrilled to have them, and they are well prepared for their life based on the foundation you've given them. So thank you very much.
This group behind me, they've taken the work to a different level. I mean, the culture that's been established in Maricopa Lodge, it's something that is called hard work. And something that they've never taken their eye off of that goal. And it's not, it wasn't about plaques, and it's never been about flags. It's been about getting these students ready. And we don't call them students anymore, we call them learners. You know, and the culture of what they've done, I'm just grateful to be part of it, grateful to be there. And we just finished the test, got a couple more makeups to do, but I have a funny feeling we did just as good this year, if not better, than we did last year.
Can you introduce your team that you have here with you? This is a test, Mr. Eshman.
Do I have to give the grade? Everything? Well, Denise Huber, okay. Alicia Babb, Mary Lemonis, Barbara Jacobson, Ricky Nagel, Ashley DeVito, Jennifer Landrum, Nicole Tyndall, Kobe Morgan, Alicia Tyndall, Kathy Calwett. Oh, by the way, there's another former teacher sitting back there, too, Lisa Goodman, Susan Trafford, Nikki Westcamp. Did I miss anybody? That's about it. All right. Oh, and one of those students back there, Ty Roper, was part of our fifth grade class last year, which helped us achieve this distinguished school. So thank you, guys. We appreciate the honor. Thanks for the cookies you brought by. You can always bring cookies and treats. We like that. Thank you.
So, thank you, Mr. Ashman. Thank you for all you do for our learners. Next, we have a presentation, Keeping Highway 70 and Marysville Safer. Mr. Ron Shaver.
Trying to save my own house from Caltrans. Caltrans wants to put a 5-lane highway out where Highway 70 is now. And that's, we think, is just horribly wrong. It's wrong on many different aspects. We have a PowerPoint presentation by the chair of our committee, and I'll just turn that over to her. I have some handouts to give you, but I don't want you reading them while you're looking at the PowerPoint presentation. So I'll hand them to you afterwards, if that's okay.
I'll be fine, thank you.
Pam Wormack.
Good evening. I want to thank you all for your time. And as Ron said, this is something that kind of started out with us thinking, you know, not in our front yard, most of us. And as we looked at it more and more, we saw, no, this has bigger and bigger ramifications for our community. It's not going anywhere. Okay. So the project that we are discussing is what is from just north of here, going up Highway 70 to the Yuba Butte County line. The project actually goes beyond that in Butte County to Oroville. And Caltrans is proposing a five-lane transportation corridor that will involve two lanes in each direction and a continuous centered turn lane, what we call the suicide lane, because we have a section of that already out there in District 10, and we see illegal passing on it all the time. And when they add this increased capacity, experts call this induced demand. Basically, if you build it, they will come. That's from the Field of Dreams. This is not the Field of Dreams. What it does is they say, if you increase road capacity by any percentage, you will get increased traffic by that same percentage on a one-to-one basis. If you increase in a road capacity by 20%, you'll get 20% more traffic. If you increase it by 100% like this, you will get 100% more traffic within 10 years. And what's interesting, you say, oh my gosh, how could that happen? Where do all those cars come from? Yes, some cars will choose to come over and take 70 instead of 99, but there will also be people who choose to drive that wouldn't otherwise drive. They might look at it and say, okay, well, I wanted to go to Oroville, and they'd look at it now and say, yeah, it's a two-lane road, I don't want to drive on it. Oh, it's a four-lane road, I'll go to Oroville. And so you will get more and more traffic. Unfortunately, with that more and more traffic that would be coming through Marysville, they still have to go through 13 stoplights, because that is what Highway 70 goes through our town. And obviously, we probably all know what it's like as we're sitting in the traffic here in Marysville and waiting for the lights to change and for the trucks to move through. So we know that south of town, on coming onto the East Street Bridge, it often backs up for miles at certain times of the day. And in fact, there are 65,000 vehicles that use that bridge each day. And that was in 2016, 65,000. At where 20 comes in and hits B Street, there are 35,000 vehicles a day going through there. And so we know if we pull up on our phone and we look at what's the quickest route to go through, and we see all that red and go, oh gee, what do we do now? Well, it also backs up here north of town, often backing up about 3 miles out to Saddleback. So slogging through all that traffic are a lot of commercial vehicles. There are tour buses, there are Greyhound buses, there are all kinds of large trucks that are transporting goods all over the place. 30,000 plus vehicles a day are coming to a standstill and idling near our school zones, near our distinguished school, Mary Kovalod, and right outside here, Marysville High School. 30,000 plus a day are bringing pollution right here, which is sitting on our students and us, right? Surprisingly enough, the Feather River Air Quality Management Board does not have any measurement vehicles set around our area. They're not monitoring the air. And what's interesting about that, though, is that our data, or lack thereof, goes into and is collected by the Sacramento Air Quality Management Board to mitigate the pollution that's being created down there. In other words, let's take this, which indicates nothing, and use it and make it look better. But we don't know what's going on, really. What we do know is experts will tell us that studies have shown that children living within 250 yards of a busy roadway, and that's 20,000 vehicles a day, are 6 times more likely to have cancer and 8 times more likely to get leukemia. They are also severely affected by asthma. So the American Lung Association has put out a warning saying We do not recommend you exercise if you live in an area near a roadway. Well, that's kind of a problem considering I will drive by here and see kids out playing sports, playing soccer, warming up for baseball and softball. And I think, oh my goodness, what are you breathing? And those fine particles, they have found that they're 25 times more concentrated within 330 yards of a busy roadway. And the effects aren't just on children, they're also on all of us. It causes lung disease and heart disease and stroke. So I got this map off of Google and I put that shadow over Marysville High School. It basically, the measurement of how far that pollution goes from Highway 70 engulfs the entire high school. So those kids out running the track back here are breathing in that, those particles. And Covelot Elementary is right off of E Street. They're also engulfed, and the preschool nearby. Caltrans is calling this a safety improvement, and their justification is that there have been too many accidents and there have been too many fatalities. Yes, any accident and certainly any fatality is horrible, is tragic, and we don't ever want to see it. But we also noticed when they gave us this information that 66% of those fatalities have happened in Butte County on sections of road that are already widened or improved. And that makes us question, really, are they going to be safer? Yes, the population has continued to grow, of course. California's going to grow. Yuba County, Butte County. A lot of people are commuting from Chico to Sacramento and come right through here. But the problem is in widening the existing highway through District 10 is that there are 200 or more driveways and roadways that join that road. And so that means there's a lot of cross traffic. There's a lot of people entering and exiting the road. There's a lot of tractors and trucks. And our section of 70 is completely different than that in Butte County. There are wide stretches or long stretches in Butte County where there aren't any driveways. So you can just zip on through and not have to worry about anybody coming on the roadway. We have lots of local traffic that's necessary for our commerce. We've got trucks and we've got tractors moving equipment all the time. During the summer harvest season, our 15 or more large agricultural processing plants have 200 trucks a day going in and out. And those trucks are going to be still coming onto that highway. That is a recipe for disaster. Like this. And of course, we worry about the fog. We as residents worry about how are we going to be able to really be able to see to get across five lanes in the fog. And how are drivers that are coming, commuting past, how are they going to be able to see us when we pull out? It's also designated as an evacuation route. And they say that no, it's not adequate, and no, it's not safe at this point. And they're saying that because it needs to be widened. Well, we can say that it's not adequate, and it's not safe, and it's still not going to be adequate, and it's still not going to be safe because the existing Highway 70 lies in a 100-year floodplain with unimproved levees along the Feather River. So if we get flooding or the levees break and we have people piled up five lanes deep, they're going to be sitting ducks. And if something were to happen within Marysville and there was a levee breach and you needed to get out and go north, you might not be able to. We might be underwater as well. But we have other options. We have another option, one that's safe, efficient, and is fiscally smart. And so if you look at your map, you see the brown line to the right of Highway 70. That is the existing Union Pacific Railway. And so Butte County is saying, we're coming down. We are coming down existing 70. Nobody is changing our mind. Okay? So at the three bridges, at the Butte-Yuba County line, we can take off to the east and come around within our ring levee and come down the west side of the Union Pacific tracks and then cross over right above Saddleback and then come on down the east side close to town and around the levee and join up with Highway 20. This would, and it would all be built above the level of the floodplain, so it would be out of that flooding zone. And then any trucks coming out of the hills or people coming on 20 that want to go north, they're not coming through town anymore. And then the hope is, after getting to 20, is to continue on down through Linda and join up with 70 and 65 and make it be an official bypass like Lincoln has. So all of this would ease our transportation woes. We wouldn't have all those vehicles that are just passing through, going through our town and muddying up our skies. And it would bring our communities together. I know I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I say, well, you know, do you come, if you're from out, if you're in the foothills or down south or whatever, do you come to town to shop? And they said, no, traffic's terrible. I don't. The people in the foothills, they go to Oroville. You know, people in District 10, they'll go to Oroville or Gridley. Down south, they go to Roseville. We're losing money because people don't want to battle the traffic. And we can get people to higher ground fast in case we have another emergency. So we are hoping that Caltrans and the officials that have some say in this will listen to us and help us make Marysville, make this community, Marysville and Yuba City, a desirable place to live and work and play. And we want safety. We want safety for everyone. We want safety for the elderly, for the working adults, for students, for infants, for unborn children. And that is what is so important to us. And we thank you, and we believe that it can be accomplished with your help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sure.
Hey, I have a quick question, if you don't mind. Where was Highway 20 and 70 going to meet at? You were going to take off behind Saddleback, going across, what, Cinadella's Ranch? Is that the area? Then you're going to propose crossing the Yuba River again, yeah, and putting in a new bridge.
Yeah.
So, and then that goes through right through the middle of YSDI also? Or would it be on one side or the other of the YSDI? Because that's a huge environmental impact.
I would have to defer to our engineer.
Well, I'm just curious where the crossing would be. Because once you start interfering with YSDI, you know, that's going to be a huge environmental impact because that whole thing was built in a pond that's got a liner in it, a plastic liner, basically, and they're going to never let you drive pilings through that.
Well, at 94, it's a little bit difficult to get the mind going. But, no, I've done a lot of work in development and working on the roadways in the past. It seems to me that the area that we're going through will not destroy it or hurt it, but if they did it right, it would help it, and it would help the city of Marysville. There's no problem as far as the land is concerned, or the or it wouldn't take out one house all the way through from one end to the other, or any structures that I can see. And it would be a fast, really quick way around and through, and for traffic that's going north and south, not particularly going to Marysville or Yuba City, but just going north and south, which is most of the traffic. So it would be an easy solution. And I don't think there'd be any problem with it. In fact, what I've got laid out there, some lakes, it would probably improve the environmental aspect of the town and the area there. I'm working on a map here. I've printed it many times, but I am not satisfied with it yet. When I finish that, I'll have that available to you so you can see exactly where it's running and just what the effects will be in the landscape. Any other questions?
So would it be on the east or the west side of where YSDI is right now?
It would be on the, it would come down the levee, the small levee there at Uncut Creek.
Yeah.
It would come, go past the, where it starts there and then down, then straight down and then cross, but follow that levee on down to the tracks. And then it would follow the tracks on the west side. There are high lines there, so it has to be a little bit back from it. But, and that's why you can't go across there at that point. You've got to wait to get past those high lines or across the tracks and goes on the other side. And that's a little, I live on Fisk Lane. You know, I don't know whether any of you know where Fisk Lane is or not, but it isn't a road anymore, but it's on the map. And it's just north of what's my street there? Anyway, that's my memory gone. But it's just north of that, and then it would cross the tracks there and go down the east side, and then go through, you know, where Jaxley Road is. Well, it would come around there and just skirt that nice area there where they grow vegetables and things, and up along the levee and go on up to 20 and over there.
And then I think what he's asking is after it crosses 20.
Then. Yeah. You've got your dumping grounds, what do they call it?
The dump.
Dump there. But you can skirt that. You can just barely skirt it. And then go on around and come out at just the east side of the golf course and across the levee over there and Hamilton. It'll all be elevated. Everything will be elevated from one end to the other. And there'll be a nice big lake there that would be, you can save two-thirds of the cost of putting up that building that.
Just have them put an off-ramp on both sides, one south and one north, and I'm going to put a Starbucks on one side, In-N-Out Burger on the other.
Good.
Well,
come on over and we'll put that right in the plan there.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Thank you.
One of the problems we have is that this thing has been called a safety project, which it is not. As far as we're concerned, there's not one aspect of this whole project that makes an ounce of sense. They say that the money that they have, and by the way, it's going to cost 140 plus million, Caltrans themselves say it's a temporary fix. Well, why in the world would you want to spend $140 million on a temporary fix that won't work? Why not wait if you need to get the money or put this plan into place for about the same money and then later on join it and go on down to McGowan so that people in Chico can travel from Chico to Sacramento completely unimpeded? The other thing is, out in District 10, there's 35 to 40 homes that are affected by this. This plan has none. So, you know, there's, and as I said, I've got this handout for you, and I'll give that out to you now, and you can take a look at it. The first sheet is just general information. The second sheet, should you want to sign as individual people, you can sign that second, and it's just a single sheet petition. And We're canvassing everybody, you know, and we haven't had any turndowns. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This is a letter of support, should you want to sign it. We don't want to put words in your mouth, but
I'll leave that with you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board.
You're welcome. Next, we have comments from the board members. Ms. Scott.
Hello to everyone there here. But I would like to first congratulate Covelot School for their outstanding award that they received here tonight. That was very, very, very big for our school district. I also would like to say that I did have an opportunity to visit a few schools, but one outstanding thing that I did was attend the play on Sunday, Nice Work If You Can Get It. And if you missed that play, you missed a true treat. Those students were outstanding. The circumstances outside, sitting there, for a minute I had to get myself together because I thought I was in Sacramento at a big play out there. You know, it was very, very nice. And Wendy Marks and the staff at MCAA, they're doing a wonderful job with the kids. They have talent. And I would just advise you, if another play comes along, don't miss it, or you're going to miss out. I thank you.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the schools we have had a chance to visit, and the one that really blew my mind was Ella. I've driven by Ella, I can't tell you how many times. It's amazing. And we had a chance to chat with Mr. Gregor, and he's a cheerleader. He's amazing. And really talked about his team, how he has instilled the teamwork ethic on that campus. When we asked him if there was anything he really needed, if I was thinking infrastructure, he never said anything. He just emphasized the staff and how important they were to him and how he worked with those students, and it was just an amazing visit. So I really appreciate Mr. Gregory. And I too want to chime in on Kuvla. It's an amazing group of people that are working with those learners, and that plaque doesn't do justice for the impact those students are getting from that staff. It's really important to recognize them, and I know they will appreciate the recognition. Thank you.
Mr. Allison.
I wish Doug was still here. 25 years, you know, when he was still teaching in a sixth grade class there, and I don't know how Dave Severson, the guy who taught me all the Norwegian I know, got us to do this. But somehow we ended up doing a summer program for homeless people to get them to write resumes. And all these people, we had like maybe 30 people in this classroom, you know, like for 2 weeks. And just Doug is like the most amazing person. I mean, he cares. He's like super amazing guy. And 80% of those people in that class with their resumes ended up getting jobs. You know, and that was just amazing. And hey, what else can I say?
Mr. Boom? Mr. Boom? Mr. Fleury?
Yes, I'm very proud of Kovalot. Doug and I had worked together years ago, and I've known him as a very amazing educator, deeply cares about the kids. The longevity there, I think, makes a difference. My daughter teaches there. Another one is my goddaughter is there, and they're just dedicated to kids. Also, another thing is that Johnson Park had their open house, and it was amazing the amount of the community came in. They fed those, and the line went on for 1 hour as they fed them, volunteers, parents, and you had a chance to interact with them and heard so many positive things about Johnson Park. And one of the shout-outs I want to give is to Tina Lovell, who was our classified in this district, worked two different departments. She's now teaching at Johnson Park as a long-term sub. And the accolades from the parents and the students were amazing. The PowerPoints she had were amazing just to watch. Also, with a couple other board members, we visited principals of Ella Johnson Park and Olive First. And the one thing they had in common was the love they had for the kids, the belief in their staff, and they're really working to try to make it better school. And the next thing is the CSBA spring concert is in 2 weeks. It's always, we have a long agenda. It's going to be two breakout sessions from board members across the state. There's 270 members of the CSBA Delegate Assembly. And the things they've asked us to do, these two questions, and I'm going to meet with Jolie on them because she's the expert when it comes to safety. Number one, they want to know the impact the legalization of marijuana is affecting our school districts now. That's one thing they're trying to get to gather the data. The second thing is school safety. That's their two things they're really concerned about. And today, of course, is the National Teachers Day. And I just want you to know what my personal opinion, our teachers work hard. We're very lucky. And when I go to CSBA, because I interact with them from all over the state, I come away very proud of our district and what we're doing. And now that we've got on the agenda tonight, closed negotiations, we have a share session. And that's really going to bring a lot of pride for me for this district. I mean, it's just amazing where we have gone, and I'm very proud of our district.
Thank you. Mr. Crawford.
Yes, I had the opportunity, and I rarely do, to interact with the Foothill kids. A lot of our Foothill schools participate in the Smartsville Pioneer Day, which was last Saturday. And believe it or not, it's the 11th annual. I couldn't believe it had been that long. But they're trying to raise money to restore that beautiful historical church that is there. In fact, if you just drive by, that's about the only thing you see. But they really have been tenacious, just like you folks are and everybody else. When you want to get something done, you got to work hard at it. And this is our 11th year, and the students had booths set up, and were selling cookies and talking school talk. And there were also schools from Butte County, too. And just mentioning Doug Eshman, ironically, when he became principal of Kovalod, both my children, he talked me into not only being his site council president for 3 years, but for my children to attend Sarah and Frankie, and I don't regret that for one moment. He was so unique being principal for the first time, and he showed time and time again what a great job, and his longevity has shown it too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything to say because I'm just too tired from such a long
sessions?
So long.
Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Units. Public comments. We have no public comment cards. Superintendent's report.
Thank you for a second opportunity to speak with you, but I think I've said everything I have to say during my evaluation meeting. So thank you very much, and next time.
Thank you. We have the approval of the minutes. Minutes for the regular board meeting of 4/24/18. If there's no additions or deletions, we will entertain a motion. Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays.
Oh, one question. Should I abstain on that? Okay. No. Yay. Nay. Yay. Woo. Yes.
Seven yes, Lisa. Next we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that board members would like to have pulled? If there's no items to pull, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Seven yes. Moving on to new business. New business, we have a resolution 2017-18/22, Classified School Employees Appreciation Week. Do we have discussion? No discussion? If there's no discussion, we'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. Any further discussion? Nope. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Under Personnel Services, number 2, tentative agreement with MUTA. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the tentative agreement, TA, between the Marysville Joint Unified School District and the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, MUTA. Do we have any input?
If there are any questions, I'd be glad to field them, but certainly would like the presiding board to consider this item as presented, as indicated from the gallery in the back. Long, arduous process, but certainly our hats off to the association for their collaborative effort in successive weeks in order to hammer out this fine agreement, and we recommend the board approve it.
Thank you.
I appreciate the long hours MUTA and the staff has put in, and I'd like to make the motion for approval, if I may.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve, second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. And meeting adjourned.
Hand me that sign-off sheet.